We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
If you have before you your Bible, you might turn to the 7th Psalm and read the 8th verse. The Lord shall judge the people. Now, there isn't anybody in this universe that knows how to judge people except Almighty God. You know, I've known judges on the bench, good men, fair-minded as is possible for a human being to be. But all of us have certain prejudices and certain preconceived ideas of what's right and wrong, and sometimes we are right and sometimes we are wrong. And it's absolutely impossible for any man to be perfect in judgment in this world. You just can't be. You may want to be, you may desire to be, but you just can't be. The Bible makes it clear that wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is from God. You know, we all recognize human limitations, and we know how it's impossible for some people to be fair. For instance, if you murdered a man, you wouldn't want his brother to be the judge at the trial, would you? You wouldn't want his brother on the jury, would you? Well, you wouldn't, of course. Why? Well, you'd say he'd be against me. Naturally, he would be. It'd be very hard for a man to be perfectly just if somebody killed your brother or somebody murdered your son. Man is incapable because of certain limitations. He's incapable of perfect justice and perfect judgment. He just can't be in this world. I remember one time I knew a sheriff in Alabama years ago when I was a boy. His son had committed a terrible crime, and the sheriff locked up his boy and kept him in jail, kept him there behind the bars, all locked up. And he took him a little extra food that maybe the other prisoners didn't have, I don't know. I imagine he would, because he was a father. He certainly would have been inclined to have done it. But there was his boy in jail. He was a sheriff. He was a good sheriff, too, by the way. But, you know, I imagine if he'd have been the judge on the bench, it would have been very hard to have been perfectly just. He would have been biased. His emotions would have controlled him. He'd have been swept off his feet, maybe, as he sat there to try his own boy in court. But, you know, God, who is so wise, infinite in wisdom, is capable of judging. In the first place, man's limited in knowledge, and God is not limited in knowledge. Man doesn't always know, but God always knows. The Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God knows a motive that prompts your action. God knows your mental limitations. God knows how you're warped in your personality. God knows the weaknesses that you've inherited. Isn't it wonderful to know that someday God of the universe, the God that knows all things, will judge us? And yet that's pretty serious business, men and women. You know, he won't miss anything. He'll know all you did. He'll know what your mother doesn't know about you. He'll know what your father never even suspected. He'll know what your wife doesn't know, too, and what your husband doesn't know. That's pretty serious, isn't it? You know, I just wonder if everybody knew you just like God knows you, how you'd stand today. Suppose your wife knew you just exactly like God knows you, or your husband knew you just like God knows you. How would you stand? Suppose you, when you go to church next Sunday, you're an official church member. Suppose everybody in the church knew you just exactly like God knows you. How would you stand in that church where you are so prominent? But you know, God does know us. He knows all about us. He knows the motive that prompts us. He knows why we did certain things. He knows the weaknesses we've inherited. You know, I know some people have made an awful struggle in this world. They've tried so hard, but they've blundered so often. When I read in the Bible the wonderful statement, he knoweth our frame, he remembers that we are dust. He knows us. He knows the kind of dirt you're made out of. He knows the sort of blood that courses through your vein. But don't feel too comfortable when I say that to you, because the Bible says something else about Almighty God. It says he does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. He doesn't condone sin. He understands why you do certain things. But God does not condone sin. He never winks at it. Doesn't matter what your weaknesses may be. Since God's an infinitely holy God, he cannot condone wrongdoing. And the judge of this universe, when he looks at your sin, remembers that his son died on the cross for you. And remember when his son died on Calvary's cross, and your sin was laid on the Son of God, God wouldn't even look at his only begotten Son. And God drew a curtain down from the sky and shut off the picture. And the saddest words that ever rang out on the air were those sad words, my God, why is thou forsaken? God couldn't look at your sin when your sin was laid on his Son at Calvary. Now, if God couldn't look at your sin when the sinless Son of God bore that sin on the cross, he can't look at your sin with the least degree of allowance. So don't get the wrong idea now. Yes, God understands us. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the disposition of our father and the disposition of our mother. He knows how the blood got crossed up in our veins. He knows our maternal and paternal ancestors. He knows we were born in sin. But he fixed it for us so we don't have to live in sin and die in sin. He has a way for us, a way of escape. Now, that's how good God is. God said, yes, I have to judge you. And as I look at you, I say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And I cannot condone sin. I saw a judge on the bench one time, sentenced two orphan boys to the penitentiary. And he cried while he sentenced them. I was just a country boy, but I can see that judge sitting there. He said, I don't want to do this. I'm sorry to have to do it. But I can't do anything else. I'm a judge on the bench. I sympathize with these boys. I understand them. I know their background. I know their environment. I have an understanding heart. I'll be as easy, boys, as I can on you. But I'm a judge on the bench, and I have to sentence you. Now, God on the throne of the universe, when he looks at a sinner, understands. But God cannot condone sin. He cannot wink at it. He won't wink at your sin. But God fixed it up so you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to face the wages of sin. You don't have to be lost. God judged your sins when Jesus died for you. That's what God thinks of sin. God thinks of sin in the terms of Calvary. The God that loved us sent his Son to die for us. We didn't even condone sin when Jesus died. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. Now God, the Lord, shall judge the people. Now when you stand in the presence of God, your standing will depend upon what you do with Jesus Christ. If you accept Christ, God accepts you. If you reject Christ, God rejects you. If you confess Christ before man, God will confess you before heaven and angels. Whatever you do with Christ, God will do with you. You say, Bob Jones, that sounds cold and cruel. It isn't cold. It isn't cruel. I'll put it a little different if you want me to. I'll try to make it a little plainer. What you do with Christ, God has to do with you. Oh, you say, God can do anything he wants to do. No, he can't. God cannot save a sinner that rejects Jesus Christ. An infinitely just God has only one way to save man, and that's the Calvary way, the cross way, the way of the fountain of blood. God, in his infinite wisdom, was unable to find any other plan. There is no other plan. And there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved but in the name of Jesus Christ. You better be thinking about this. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a little baby was born. And he came to this world. God's Son came to die for you. To bear your sin in his body on the cross. And when that baby was born, there was a shadow of a cross over that manger. And the shadow of that cross hung over his head through all the years of his life. As he went down the highway of life, he kept saying, mine hour is not yet come, mine hour is not yet come. And then one day he stood there, and he said, this is why I came. For this hour came I into the world. I came to die to save poor lost sinners. Why don't you trust him? Why don't you yield yourself to him? Now the psalmist says here, the Lord shall judge the people. Now notice what he says. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. What could the psalmist mean, his righteousness? No, he couldn't mean as we understand it that way. Not as you and I understand righteousness. He qualifies it in the next statement that I'll quote in just a minute. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. In our hand, no price we can bring. As I told you before, the best act, the best man presented to Almighty God as a claim on God for salvation is an insult to the righteousness and justice and holiness of God. Now the psalmist says, according to my righteousness. Notice. And according to mine integrity that is in me. Now that's different. Now wait a minute. God looks at the heart. He knows your motive. He knows why you do as you do. He knows in your heart what you would do if you could. He looks into your heart and says, there's someone that knows he cannot save himself. Knows he's a lost sinner. Knows he's unsaved. So knowing his helplessness, he just trusts my son. And trusts the atoning blood. And yes, his integrity is all right. Listen just a minute. Every man can have the right motive. We may make mistakes and we may fail and blunder and stumble in this world. But many women, you and I can have the right motive. You know, as I've said so many times, the thing we would do if we could do, God figures we've done. I can never be perfect in this world. I have the treasure, the divine treasure, the salvation in an earthly vessel. The treasure is wonderful, but over the vessel, we have this treasure in this earthen vessel. We're going through this world circumscribed by limitations and weaknesses. Our judgment's not always good, but in our heart, we can be true to Jesus Christ, true to God the Father. In our heart, we can say, I would if I could. I would if I could. I thought about the other day, if I could take the gospel to every human being in the world, I would. If I could save everybody on earth and get everybody to come to Jesus, I would. So God says he would if he could. And God looks at you this morning and says, there's a woman or a man that would if they could. So the psalmist says, God shall judge the people. He says, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. Our Father, help us to be faithful to thee. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. May we be yielded and consecrated and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God lead us. May our hearts be right. If we have the stain of sin on our hearts, wash away that stain. And give us sweet fellowship with God. Unbroken communion. Help us to be true in all the things we think and say and do. True at heart. Give us the right kind of hearts. Hearts from sin set free. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.